Oh, good news that God loves you. That's why Jesus died on a cross. He has a purpose, a plan, and a destiny for your life. And no matter what your life has looked like, God cares about you. He's a good God. He's a loving God. You know, they estimate that the cross that Jesus carried weighed about 300 pounds. And he carried that for over 600 yards down the Via Dolorosa. Can you imagine that? 300 pounds that Jesus carried over 600 yards. And this is after all he'd been through during the night, been kept up all night long, been beaten on more than one occasion as he faced these different trials through the night. And the next day, he carried his own cross to the place of the skull where he was crucified. Jesus didn't do that because he hates you. He did that because he loves you, because he cares about you. That's the good news of Easter. Jesus died and he has risen from the dead. The title of my message today, as you see there on the screen, is Unimpossible. Everybody say that with me? Unimpossible. Now, before any of you grammar hawks send me an email this week, I want you to know I know that's not a real word, okay? But the word possible just seems so boring to me. So I invented a word to represent the fact that that which used to be impossible is now unimpossible because of the cross and the resurrection. And so I get it's not a word, but mark my words, it will be a word. And when unimpossible becomes a word, you're going to be able to say, I was there. I was there the first Sunday that Pastor Tim Olson revealed the word unimpossible. I was a part of it, okay? I want you to know today that which used to be impossible is now absolutely possible. In fact, there's nothing that's impossible for God. Amen? You might have things in your life that you think, wow, this will never change. It's absolutely impossible. Maybe you've gotten bad news from a doctor and you've got some sickness and you think, well, it's just impossible. I want you to know, with God, all things are possible. Amen? Perhaps you've come this morning and your marriage is on the rocks. And you feel like, man, we're in such deep trouble. There is no way this thing is ever going to get fixed. I want you to know, God heals marriages all the time. It's not impossible with God. Maybe you feel like, man, my life is such a mess. I've made so many bad choices in my life. I've made so many mistakes. There's just no way to undo what's been done. I want you to know today, nothing is impossible for God. Just this morning, before the first service, I was sharing with a couple of guys, and they both reminded me, men that go to our church, they both reminded me that it was on Easter Sunday that they gave their life to Jesus. One of them, it was 18 years ago, and the other one, it was 4 years ago, and it was Easter Sunday, a morning just like this, that they gave their life to Jesus, and their whole life changed when they opened their heart to the Lord. Unimpossible. The resurrection of Jesus makes everything possible. The resurrection is proof that Jesus is who he said he was, and he can do what he says he can do. Jesus is who he said he was. He's not just another good guy. He's not just a teacher, some rabbi. That's all good. That's all fine. But Jesus is more than that. Jesus is the Son of God. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, that's a bold statement to make if it's not true. And it's a bold statement to make if you can't back it up. But Jesus backed it up by dying on a cross and rising from the dead. Amen? He is risen, and he can do whatever he says he can do. There's nothing that's impossible for our God, and the resurrection proves that. A few weeks ago, I was in the country of Ethiopia with some pastor friends of mine, and we were just taking part in a number of different ministries there. And during the week, we had this great meeting with a number of pastors. Now, all the guys on the left there, they're all pastors of churches in Ethiopia. And I want you to pay attention to the guy there that's on the right that's holding his hand up. He's the one talking to us. This is a man that was a Muslim just 6 months ago, and he found Jesus 6 months ago. He came to experience the life-giving power of Jesus Christ, which was so different than anything he had known all of his life. Now, the story doesn't end there. In the last 6 months, this man that has his hand up, found Jesus 6 months ago. In the last 6 months, he has started 3 new churches. People that he's led to Christ, Muslims that he has led to Christ. And here he is, he's 6 months old as a Christian, and he's the pastor of 3 churches. It's an amazing thing. And so us American pastors, we were just interested to know, how do you do it? How does that happen? How are you starting these new churches? How are you having so much success with the Muslim people? And here's what he said. He says, I just ask them a question. I say, look, Muhammad is dead and Jesus is alive. And then I ask him this question. Is it better to follow a dead person or a live person? And people come to Christ. With that simple question, it makes them think, well, yeah, I'd rather follow a live person. The resurrection of Jesus changes everything. And I want you to know that the resurrection of Jesus is not just something that happened 2,000 years ago. He's alive today. And he's still doing things. He's still changing things. He's at work right now. So the things that you might see as impossible in your life are absolutely possible with Jesus. I want to draw your attention to a passage of Scripture. This is a New Testament book of Ephesians in the first chapter. If you have your Bible, you can turn there. I'm going to put it up on the screen. And this is written by one of the apostles, and it's written several years after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. So there's been time now to kind of look back and process what all of that meant. I'm sure that first week after Jesus rose from the dead, the disciples' heads had to be just spinning out of control. What does this mean that Jesus, our Savior, that he died and now he's risen from the dead? And they had to have so many questions. So this is now years later, time to process and time to let the Holy Spirit speak to them about what this all meant. What did the resurrection of Jesus really mean for us? Because it means something. It's not just an event that happened. It actually means something to us today. And so this was a prayer. Paul is saying, I pray for you. I want you to know I pray for you. And this is what I'm praying for you. And as I read this, I want you to know for the last 2 weeks, I've been praying this same prayer for you. For you. Maybe I didn't know you by name or know you were going to be in church today, but God did. And so I've been praying for every person that came to church this morning. I've been praying this prayer for you. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead. Paul is saying, look, guys, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is available to us today. And it's making a difference. It's changing us today. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is still changing people's lives. At the end of the service this morning, we have the privilege of baptizing a few people. These are people that have found Jesus Christ as their Savior. God has changed their lives, and today, publicly, they're going to declare that they are followers of Jesus Christ. Water baptism is a beautiful picture of a couple of things. First of all, it's a picture of the fact that Jesus died, was buried, and rose from the dead. But it's also a picture of what our lives were like before we found Christ, that we were dead in our sins, the Bible says. But because of Christ, now our life is resurrected. We have new life. In fact, the Bible says if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away and everything has become new. So water baptism is this God-given, beautiful picture of what it means to become a Christian, what it really means, that it's not just joining a church. It's that transformation has taken place in our hearts because of the power of the Lord. So in this in this passage of Scripture, Paul is saying, look, I want you to really get this. I want your eyes to be opened up. I want you to understand that the resurrection makes a difference. And then he talks about three specific things that are a result of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's three words that he uses here. If you have your Bible open, you might want to underline these or circle these or highlight these in some way. But there are three words, and these three words are all linked to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The three words are hope, riches, and power. He says, through Christ, through his resurrection, we now have hope, we have riches, and we have power. How many of you would like to have hope, riches, and power? Some of you think that's a trick question. You're like, okay, let me explain those. Okay, first of all, hope. We could all use a little hope, isn't that right? Man, this world could use hope. And perhaps you're here today and you kind of feel like there isn't hope. And that's a terrible place to be, because when we feel like there's not even hope, we just feel like giving up. We feel like, why try? So hope is such an important commodity. And some of us this morning, perhaps we're thinking, man, if I could just get a hold of a little bit of hope, I've got good news for you. In Jesus, there's always hope. Don't give up. There's always hope through Jesus Christ. In fact, Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11 says this, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a, everybody say it together, hope, a hope, and a future. With Jesus, there is always hope, and God wants to restore hope to your life. And then the second word that Paul uses here, he talks about riches. We have riches. Now, I want to be very clear about this. Paul is not writing about the kind of riches that this world has, right? He's not talking about these things. In fact, the Bible makes it very clear that the riches of this world will come to nothing. They're going to be destroyed. So many of the things that people live for in this life, they're going to be so disappointed because they're going to be destroyed one day. Jesus said this about riches, about materialistic riches. Jesus said, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his own soul? Jesus says, I don't care if you're the richest man who's ever lived. If you've accumulated all the wealth of the world, Jesus says, what good is that going to do you on the day you stand before God? Now, all of that money, all the toys, all the houses, they're all going to be destroyed. You're going to be standing there before God without any of those things. So it is absolutely futile to live your life for those things, the riches of this world. What Paul is saying here is God is going to give us something that's so much better. He uses the word inheritance. We have an inheritance. Now, an inheritance is something you don't have yet, right? They're riches, but you don't have them yet. But they're coming to you one day. For followers of Jesus Christ, we know that we might not be rich in this world, but we have riches that money can't buy. Amen? Amen. How many of you know you can't buy a good night's sleep? Right? You can't buy rest for your soul. You can't buy peace. You can't buy the forgiveness of sins. And you certainly can't buy eternal life. So the riches of this world, they pale in comparison compared to the riches that God has for us through Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible says in heaven, we're going to be walking on streets of gold. There's going to be so much gold, we're going to use it for asphalt. Right? The riches God has for us. So good. So through Jesus Christ, we have hope, we have eternal riches, and then thirdly, we have power. Power, the power to change our lives. Paul wrote there, God's incomparably great power for us who believe, that power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead. So the power that God used to raise Jesus from the dead, that same power is here today. It's available to us right now. And through that power, he's changing lives. You might feel like, man, I've got this addiction that is so strong. It has controlled so much of my life. I'm just addicted. I can't get away from it. Well, you might not be able to get away from it, but I'm telling you, the power of God can break that addiction. He can break it. He can change your life. You might feel like, man, I'm just, my life is heading down this road and it's a dead end. I want you to know God can change all of that. And he proved it when Jesus rose from the dead. He's still working in lives today. He's still forgiving sins. He's still setting people free. He's still healing our lives. He's still reversing the direction that our lives are heading. And it's all because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I love how there's another passage of scripture in Romans, the book of Romans chapter 8. And I use the Message paraphrase Bible here because I just love how this is worded here. It says, it stands to reason, doesn't it, that if the alive and present God who raised Jesus from the dead moves into your life, he'll do the same thing in you that he did in Jesus, bringing you alive to himself. When God lives and breathes in you, and he does as surely as he did in Jesus, you are delivered from that dead life. Oh man, I love that. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead. You know, we just put limits on our thinking. Kind of like the disciples. I mean, Jesus told his disciples on several occasions that he was going to raise from the dead. Told them several times. They just could not get that through their thick skulls, right? They could not. What are you talking about? How can you die? What are you talking about being risen from the dead? They could not even get their heads around that until it happened. And then when they saw Jesus, it just changed everything. And perhaps there's things in your life that you feel like right now, you just feel like, I mean, your mind can't even go there. Your brain can't understand. How is it even possible? How could God do that? I want you to know, because Jesus rose from the dead, those things you're thinking are impossible are not impossible for God. Give Jesus a chance. Give him a chance. What do you have to lose? Right? I mean, what you're doing now isn't working. What do you have to lose? Give Jesus a chance to change your life. A few weeks ago, I read this article and I saw this picture. I'm going to put it up on the screen. I saw this picture and this whole story just fascinated me and I wanted to share it with you. I know it's a baseball story and you'll see in a moment how it applies to what I'm talking about today. But here's a couple of guys. They're sitting at a spring training ball game. The guy on the left is obviously a big Nolan Ryan fan. I mean, he's wearing his jersey. If you don't know who Nolan Ryan is, he's one of the greatest pitchers to ever play Major League Baseball. He was an 11-time All-Star. He threw seven no-hitters. I mean, in seven games, Major League players, I mean, paid baseball players, couldn't hit a single pitch. Right? Incredible, incredible, had a great, great career. He's in the Hall of Fame. So this guy's obviously a big fan. He's wearing Ryan. That was his number, 34, played for the Houston Astros. But little did this guy realize until later in the game that he's sitting right next to, you guessed it, the real Nolan Ryan. Right? Big fan. But he doesn't realize he's sitting right next to his sports hero. So how does that apply to Easter? Here's the deal. I want you to know Jesus is closer than you think. He's closer than you think. Maybe you've admired Jesus from a distance. Maybe you believe that Jesus actually was alive one day and he actually did what the Bible says that he did. And maybe you even believe Jesus rose from the dead, but you've never realized how close he is to you. And you might feel like he's just a long ways away. He's just a historical figure. God doesn't love me. He doesn't care about my life. I want you to know he's closer than you think. In fact, he's here this morning. And I would say this. Jesus is just a prayer away. He is one prayer away from coming into your life and rocking your world and changing you forever. He's one prayer away. It really is that simple. Believe me, I know. I prayed to receive Jesus Christ many, many years ago in my life, and it's the best decision I've ever made. He changed my life. He changed my family's life. He changed my whole family history. I mean, my family was such a mess. Such a mess. You think you got stories? I got stories. The trajectory of my life was nothing good until Jesus came into my life. And he changed. He changed my heart. He changed my life. And he still does that today.